Born to serve.
My eyes see injustice, my hands work for change, my tongue sings the sorrow of my heart. The love of Allah combined with hope. Let's hold hands as we make a start. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome back, respected listeners. 91.3 FM it is. My name is Muhammad Sheikh, bringing to you Born to Serve, featuring leaders in our community that have made a difference, are making a difference, and whose legacy will continue making a difference for many a generation to come. Wherever you are, I hope you're safe, I hope you're well, and I hope you're tuned in. Definitely exciting times for Born to Serve, and shukran so much for being part of our program every week right here on the airwaves of the Voice of the Cape. This evening, it gives me great pleasure to be welcoming our guest, Sheikh Ismail Abrams, who is a graduate of the Al-Azhar University. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
And how are you doing this evening?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all well. How are you doing? Well,
alhamdulillah, all good, all good. So Sheikh, we always like to have an idea and to look at the leader behind the scenes, the person behind the scenes. Amidst all the qualifications, all the contributions, what brings Sheikh to this day? So let's start from the very beginning. Who is Sheikh Ismail Abrams?
Sheikh Ismail Abrams is a very tricky question. Subhanallah. Ismail Abrams is someone that I enjoy the company of those who can, subhanallah, who can show me a different way or a different way how to reach tolerance always in life, how to always spread tolerance, respect, and strive toward a better future, and kind of stay away from all the negativity and always try to inspire positivity, mm-hmm. be it within myself or those who are around me. So if I should summarize it up, I think that's what I would say for now, inshallah.
Okay, so that's a good thing. So tell us a little bit about your background. Where are you from? Where did you grow up? A little bit about your upbringing.
Okay, alhamdulillah, I was born in the area of Colorado Park in Mitchell's Plain.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
I spent quite a few years there, mm-hmm. and from the forward, there was quite a bit of moving around. Alhamdulillah, also from there, we managed to move to areas such as Bayview and Strandfontein. We moved all over to Goodwood as well.
Okay.
And then today, alhamdulillah, I find myself situated in the Kramat area.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
To the Qabristan of Tuan Yusuf, rahmatullahi alayhi. Mm-hmm. So that's currently where I'm residing now at the moment. Alhamdulillah. And basically going through life, moving and living, that is about how it goes. Yes.
Sure. Wonderful. Tell us a little bit about your family and, you know, were they an influence into where you are today?
Subhanallah, that is a very, very, very good question. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted me with, like I'm sure all of us can say,
mm-hmm.
But alhamdulillah, subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted me with parents and grandparents that played a huge role in my life, alhamdulillah. My father has stood behind me from the very young tender age of 2 and 3, including my mother, and likewise my grandparents, Muhammad Qasim, rahmatullahi tabarak ta'ala alayhi, my grandmother, Fatima, mm-hmm. as well. And subhanallah, the influence that I would say especially that came was at the time when my father always had a saying that which he told my mother was, from the age of 0 to 3, I belong to her, and after that, I belong to him. But the concept right. behind that was because my father studied Hifz at Sheikh Mus, mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare him a long life and serve him in our community. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So with that, my father was very familiar with the Quran background.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this, my father had a certain goal when it comes to Quran and Deen, and that is why he said, look, from 0 to 3 he's yours, after that he becomes mine,
mm-hmm.
and I would say that from there forward the influence really, really started in my life, alhamdulillah.
Okay, wonderful. So your parents being a cornerstone in your upbringing, and what were your father's ambitions for you growing up? What did he want you to be?
Subhanallah, my father was someone that, and still is, someone who, how we would call it, the iron fist. Mm-hmm. The haq remains the haq. Mm-hmm. No matter if there is a little bit batil around it, the haq should always stand out. I think that is the dua, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa razuqna al-tiba'a. And so alhamdulillah, like I said, without taking anything away from my mother, alhamdulillah, and all those who has played a very important role in my life, I've had my whole family behind me, whether mm-hmm. it be aunties, uncles, mother, father, grandmother, grandfathers. But subhanAllah, my father always made sure that the only goal and aim that he really had at the start was, he told me, Ismail, you're not better than anyone, mm-hmm. but you're different.
Okay.
And you need to make sure, and in order to be different, you need to make sure that you practice the following. Life is always about quality before quantity. Mm-hmm. It's always how you do. It's not what you do.
Sure.
And yes, what you do is very important. But first of all, it starts off with how are you going to do it? Mm-hmm. Is there going to be respect? Is it tolerance? Is there sincerity? Is that sense of ikhlas, a sense of juhud? Is it there? So this was the main focus point that my father, alhamdulillah. Not only that, my father was also my coach in qira'at, in mujawad qira'at.
Interesting.
Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. So from a very young age, my father was the one that tutored me whenever I needed to go and recite out and so on. So I would say mentor slash father. Mm. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve all of our parents.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Okay, so he brought in that extra flavor and tagging you along with him and, you know, preparing you for Quranic programs and things like that. So, you know, what were your ambitions, though, growing up? Did you go into that part? Did you feel very different? Supposing you were in grade 4 or grade 3, perhaps. And
allow me to highlight something, just a bit on a light note. Alhamdulillah, I have not attended school really in Cape Town.
Okay.
I hardly finished any schooling in Cape Town.
Right.
I done grade 1 at Al Azhar Primary School. And to them, I will say first term of grade 2, I then finished off schooling right there. Mm-hmm. And Quran has always been my life. Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
So whilst growing up, the Quran was just my main focus all the time, and I found a huge sense of enjoyment out of it, and like my father always told me, subhanAllah, by me using the term my father consistently, doesn't mean my mother was absent. Like
yes,
I said,
yes.
There was a mutual understanding. I'm sure my mother and my father probably came to this agreement behind closed doors.
Right.
But there was that my mother played a certain role and mm-hmm. my father played a certain role, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate both of the roles that they played. May Allah reward them in this dunya and akhirah. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen.
Ameen, Ameen,
but whilst growing up at the very young teenage age, I had role models in my life. And that was like the likes of Sayyid Alawi al-Maliki and all these great scholars. I just looked up to them. But over and above that, I was just training the life of that my father always taught me, that life, it's about how and not what.
Mm.
And that just occupied my entire life.
Okay.
Whether it be I went to school, I tried grade 1, and assumed the Quran was the only thing that really played an important role in my life at that time as well. So alhamdulillah, even my teachers that I had from a very young age, alhamdulillah, my life has been circling very much just around Quran from the age of 3 years old, alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. So I think perhaps that's where all the barakah lies, all the blessings lie.
Alhamdulillah, shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Wonderful.
Subhanahu.
So, you know, you're in your journey to Quran and striving to Quran, etc., what was your direction like? Where did you head to? 3 years old, sure. I can't even remember playing with Legos at that time. So,
subhanAllah, to my Legos. I remember always hearing the story from my granny, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Yehuda, for raising my father in such a good way that mm-hmm. I could have benefited from him, alhamdulillah.
Sure.
And likewise to my grandfather, Muhammad Qasim, Allah grant blessed in his qabr, ameen,
ameen,
ameen.
Ameen.
But subhanallah, I remember her saying a story. So I basically grew up in her company.
Right.
And she's actually the one that discovered that I started developing this want to learn Quran. So one day I was very afraid of the fire brigade.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I had quite a huge flight of that, and I used to play as she, I'm narrating the story.
Mm-hmm.
So as she would always tell me, she heard me one day playing in the lounge, and while I was playing in the lounge, the Quran consistently used to play in the background.
Right.
And then one day she heard when the Quran stopped on the radio, I continued reading.
Subhanallah.
And that is the moment that she identified something's up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when she informed my parents, and that is where the entire journey started.
Alhamdulillah. Okay.
So from there on forward, whilst I was busy learning Quran, and it was just every morning waking up, like, let's tackle a new adventure.
Right.
Let's try something new.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah, I was fortunate enough to spend that at that age, 3.5, 4, not many schools wanted to accept me half at school because of my age that I was in.
Yes.
So Alhamdulillah, I managed to study under the tutorship of Sheikh Sa'adullah Khan.
Okay.
And at that time, I shared the company of Rabia Sayyid as well. So Masaf and her were studying together under the tutorship of Sheikh Sa'adullah. So his house basically became a creche for me,
right,
dwelling, but a creche of Quran.
Right.
And then he mentored me further, Alhamdulillah. And I spent days, for months, years there. And from the Alhamdulillah, I think being in his company, that is when things opened up a bit more.
Right.
I started developing a sense that a feeling of I want something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go forward. I want to achieve. But my life was never, I never had goals. I just used to wake up in the morning and say, oh Allah, my father speaks to me every day about it's not what you do, it's how you do. And oh Allah, I want to make today better than yesterday. I think that was the consistent message that reminded myself of. And Alhamdulillah, today, whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted me, I thank Allah firstly, and then I thank my parents and all those who played of my family, played a very huge role mm-hmm. in my life to this point. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, beautiful indeed. Let's head to the marketplace and we'll resume shortly thereafter. Keep it locked to 91.3 FM.
Born to serve.
My eyes see injustice, my hands work for change, my tongue sings the sorrow.
Welcome back, respected listeners. My name is Muhammad Sheikh. With me, Sheikh Ismail Abrams, a graduate of the Al-Azhar University, and somebody who has received a certification, ijaz, and various sciences. But we're still dwelling into some of his early days, as we call it, and what brought him to this stage. So welcome back, Sheikh. So, you know, being scared of the fire brigade, your grandmom having some input into your journey ahead in life, and from the lap of Sheikh Sa'adullah Khan, what was the next adventure?
From there forward, Alhamdulillah, being in his company, Alhamdulillah, which I appreciate up until today, Alhamdulillah, I was then exposed to the outside world,
mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah, on a much more bigger scale. And it all started with the coming of Sayyid Alwi al-Maliki to Cape Town at that time at Masjid al-Quds.
Mm-hmm.
And Alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was then invited to be the guest reciter at the evening of the coming of Sayyid Alwi al-Maliki. And subhanAllah, something happened that very evening, which wallahi, it still sticks with me up until today. And I thank Allah for it, Alhamdulillah. He poured a glass of water and then he took a sip and then he turned around and he rubbed my head. And he said something to me in Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
And he made dua and he said to me, drink the water, the remaining water up from the glass that I have drank from. And from that moment, subhanAllah, I think that that is also one of the many reasons that I think that by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I managed to reach this point in my life, only by the grace and the will of Allah, to have been able to sit in Egypt, to benefit from teachers, to benefit from the blessed dakatira, professors that are there, alhamdulillah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really elevate the Alwi al-Maliki family. Amin.
Absolutely.
But so basically, and then that was in the company of Sheikh Sa'adullah. Thereafter, as we all know, he then departed from South Africa. He went overseas. And that is when I went to grade one.
Okay.
And grade R, grade one. And then my father said, look, the principal called my father in and said, look, Ismail doesn't look like he's really cut out for this at the moment because everything just seems to be Quran. And so it's best rather let him finish his hifz and then being him back to school. At this moment, my father took me out at the age, my mother and my father both agreed at that moment, they're going to take me out of school and put me back into Hifz school. This is when I went into, under the tutorship of Sheikh Buli.
Okay.
Sheikh Yusuf Buli, rahmatullahi alayhi. At that time, still at his house.
Right.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah place nur in his qabr.
Ameen.
A very firm guy, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. I'm sure all those who know Sheikh Buli would know how firm he and the love that he had for the Quran made him so firm, alhamdulillah.
Correct.
But he
Correct.
Has produced brilliant hufal.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And from there forward, Sheikh Buli then fell a bit ill at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And during that period, his school then came, there was a pause in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jama'iyat al-Qurra came into existence as well. So at that moment, I then moved over to Jama'iyat al-Qurra.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a few years at Jama'iyat al-Qurra, or a few months at least, at Jama'iyat al-Qurra. At that time, my parents were still deciding, would I be remaining there or would I be going somewhere else? And subhanAllah, surprisingly, at this time, something happened in life at that moment, and I ended up under the tutorship. It was for qira'at purposes. When Sheikh Sa'adullah left, I needed to go under someone else to tutor me,
mm-hmm.
besides my father.
Yes.
And then I went under the hands of Sheikh Ismail Lunt.
Oh, mashallah.
And then at this time, Sheikh Ismail Lunt had a hafiz school at Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel's Masjid in Portland, Masjid
right.
Rabi.
Mm-hmm.
And because of being under his tutorship, I ended up spending full time in his hifz classes.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was then under the tutorship and guidership of Sheikh Ismail Lunt. And he then tutored me further in qira'at and function, recitation and all of these things. And then came a very, very beautiful adventure in my life. And that was when I was invited to myself and another hafiz person. We were then invited to represent South Africa in a competition that took place in Libya.
Okay.
So I went for qira'at.
Mm-hmm.
And the student that joined me was as well a graduate of the Al-Azhar, Sheikh Taha.
Mm-hmm.
He went for the there we go. And I went for the qira'at. We then head to Libya, and there we went for the competition. But before we could go there, the MJC then said, look, you need a tutor for qira'at,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you need someone just to help increase your competition, to make you competition-wise, when it comes to the makharij al-huruf.
Right.
And then because of this, I spent time in the company of Sheikh Fuad Khabir.
Oh, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, I spent time in the company of Sheikh Fuad Khabir. At this very present moment, Sheikh Ismail Lan became a bit busy. He was flying a bit in and out and so on. And we went to the competition and we came back. When we came back, I completed under the tutorship of Sheikh Fuad Khabir.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. I completed my hifz under the tutorship of Sheikh Fuad Khabir. And it is there where I tamated as well. In 2006. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So can we see it's quite a long journey.
Yes,
so from
yes.
4 or 5 years old until 2006, that whole entire time was spent only in Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. Be it qira'at or be it in hifz. After tamating, I then went to Al-Azhar High School.
Right.
And that is when life started taking a bit of a change,
okay.
Into a different direction. They accepted me at Al-Azhar High School, and from there forward, this is where the Egypt journey
started, begins.
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, wonderful. I think a good wrap up, and you know, I don't think you missed anything in primary school, really. Your life was in Quran, so I think you've got more than almost every other person out there. So all praise be to Allah for that. You know, heading into this journey and stuff, you know, you had lots of opportunities, alhamdulillah, to sit at the feet of Qurra. What would you say was your key lesson that you learned from any of them in terms of this stage, the primary school stage or that young age?
Subhanallah, I remember whenever I used to practice, you know, before we reading at a function or so on, making sure that the maqamat were all in place.
Mm-hmm.
My father always made an example, and he said, Ismail, in your heart, you need to make a bid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you need to make this bid as soft as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because so that the Quran can go and rest in there.
Mm.
So if that bed is not present, if the heart is not settled, it is not present, it is as the Quran says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. If that sakina and that itmi'nan is not, and tuma'nina is not there, the Quran won't rest.
Correct.
In thee.
Mm-hmm.
And so he then said, and when the Quran rests in thee, you need, when you start off with أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, you need to realize people are living as if they are living in the ocean and the ocean is wild, mm-hmm. right? And you find yourself on the ship, mm-hmm. and you are the captain of the ship. You need to keep them so occupied and intrigued by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring them so much connected to Allah that no matter how rough the ocean goes, they will still feel as if the ocean is settled, it is comfort, his tranquility and serenity.
Amazing.
And I think that was, to be very honest, that was the point that really stood out for me at that stage. And the true definition of that, mm-hmm. I'm seeing it today in my life, alhamdulillah. In the second part of my life, which I took on in Egypt, I see the definition of that now today, of what important role is the Qur'an. I mean, subhanAllah, when the Sahaba, ridwanullah alayhi majma'in, when Nabi Muhammad,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
the Qur'an was always this. When they heard the Quran, they didn't want it to stop, subhanAllah. Mm-hmm. It was like melody to the ears, but it was melody to the ears and brought the heart closer to Allah. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the highlight, alhamdulillah. And above that, there was a lot of, like they say, sometimes people might think the Quran is just all hard work and sweat, mm-hmm. but it pays off, alhamdulillah.
No, of course.
They are perks, alhamdulillah. Within this time, when we got invited to the competition in Libya, we were then also for the opportunity to travel via a lot of countries as a gift, alhamdulillah. Mm. And alhamdulillah, I'll say that is the perks that came with it, alhamdulillah.
Why not?
I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. So for all those honorable listeners that tune in, it might be having children that's studying Quran, or that might be students of Quran themselves, no matter how great the struggle, they say the greater the struggle, the sweeter the end results, inshallah. So my dua is, or my advice is, don't look at it now. Subhanallah, my teacher always said to us, and in fact this year he emphasized it, and he said, if Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam were to judge his life at the moment when he was lying in the pit, he would have never foreseen what Allah had in store for him.
Absolutely.
He would have lost hope in Allah.
Mm.
So we should never judge life by the way things are going now. Mm-hmm. Because when Allah says kun fayakun, it will be.
Absolutely.
It will be, alhamdulillah.
Absolutely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us.
Amen.
And, you know, accept this humble journey of yours into venturing into the, you know, life of Quran, etc. If I may ask, why Egypt?
Subhanallah, I
know you said Al-Azhar Primary School, Al-Azhar High School. I think it was more than just a calling to get there, was it?
Yes. Subhanallah, when I attended Al-Azhar High School, bearing in mind I only completed grade 8.
Okay.
I never went beyond, so it was grade 1, half of grade 2, that was it. And then Quran in grade 8, mm-hmm. and then after passing grade 8, alhamdulillah, that was when the decision, myself and my father and my mother, we sat down and I said, look, I would love to go and study abroad, because I don't feel like the environment is something suitable for me. And actually, my intention was to go to Medina.
Right.
That was my intention at start, that my niyyah was, I told my mother and my father, I would love to go study in Medina.
Mm-hmm.
Because, subhanAllah, something that up until today, I'm really passionate about it, is the greed, allow me to call it the greed,
mm-hmm.
Of wanting to venture into the life of Rasulullah, reading about his life, just being in his company, being in the presence of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his Qabr al-Sharif being there. So that was the whole concept of what pulled me to Madinatul Munawwara,
mm-hmm.
because I thought, alhamdulillah, Allah has gifted me with the Quran. Why not go and sit in front of the one who the Quran was revealed to me?
Absolutely.
And that was my niyyah and my intention at that time. And then we went to go and see Mawlana Ihsan, or Sheikh Hassan Talib. We went to go and see him at IPSA. And we told him, look, this is my intention. I would love to go and study in Madinatul Munawwara. What can I do? How do I apply? How do I go through the things? He then made mention, look, there is certain requirements that one needs to get into Madinat al-Munawwara, like matric and so on and so forth, and as well an age, you need a certain age to be accepted and all of these things. And then he said, but look, inshallah, you can fly till there, maybe hand in your application and tawakkal ala al-hayy alladhi la yamut and see what happens. Qadar Allah ma sha fa'al. And subhanallah, what then happened from here, he then said, and if you want, you can look at some other places as well. You have a lot of other options, like that of Egypt, maybe Al-Azhar University or whatever it might be. And then when he said Al-Azhar University, I then asked him, okay, then with who do I speak? We asked him, so who do we speak with regards to the Al-Azhar? He said, contact Sheikh Riyad Fattar. And subhanallah, My Abi made contact with Sheikh Riyad Fattar, and obviously with my mother and my father first discussing it, and then we went forward to meet up with Sheikh Riyad. And when I came in the company of Sheikh Riyad, I remember meeting up with him by his house. At that time, his two sons and his daughter, his two daughters, they just returned from Egypt on holiday.
Okay.
Sheikh Zayed Fattar and Sheikh Khalid Fattar and Sheikh Warda. And them all, so alhamdulillah, they just returned back on holiday. And the morning when I pitched up there and rocked up there, I happened just to find him there, alhamdulillah. And Sheikh Riyad, I looked at Sheikh Zayed Fattar. At the time, he just started his university. And I looked at Sheikh Khalid and so on. And I'm looking at him, Ya Allah, this looks amazing. Something of this family. I mean, it's a family of Al-Azhar going in that house, subhanAllah. And that just inspired me. And Sheikh Riyad gave me a few words of Al-Azhar. And we went home. And then I made istihara. My mother and my father made istihara with him. We then took the decision, by the will of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's going to be Egypt.
Okay,
it's alhamdulillah. Going to Egypt, alhamdulillah.
And that's where
that's how it started the
alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Let's head back to the marketplace. We'll resume shortly thereafter. Keep it locked to 91.3 FM.
Born to serve.
My eyes see injustice. My hands work for change. My tongue sings the sorrow of my heart. The love of Allah combined with hope. Let's hold hands as we make a
Welcome back, respected listeners. My name is Muhammad Sheikh, and with us this evening, Sheikh Ismail Abrams, graduate of the Al-Azhar University, walking us through his journey and some of the wonderful memories that has etched into his mind since then, from childhood up to teenage years and beyond, completely filled with memories of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. So, yes, Sheikh, once you've gone to Egypt, I mean, I would imagine you're still quite young at that time. Still adventure. You've traveled overseas by then already, so you've had a knack of what it is like to be in the Middle East country. So Egypt, off you go, and what happened then?
Alhamdulillah, at this moment and time in my life, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Riyad then offered that we can travel with his sons when they leave. So and usually the Al-Azhar University after exams, usually just before Ramadan, okay, now it's in Ramadan, after exams there is quite a long holiday period because we don't really get holidays during the year. From I would say after Ramadan until about after Hajj, that is normally the holiday period. So I then, alhamdulillah, managed to travel from Cape Town for the first time in the company of Sheikh Riyad Fattar, sons and daughters, alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, we reached Cairo in Egypt. Alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great blessing. And when I darted down in Egypt, I told myself, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Where do I find myself? Beautiful. But before I left, I was looking at images on Google and YouTube and all of these things, and I had a certain image in my mind. And landing in Egypt, I said, Allahu Akbar. I think I'm in the time of the Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. Wallahi, it was not, it's, although for those who have been there, it's antique, it's special, it's unique. You have people surviving almost on nothing, and yet they have smiles like they have everything. So it is something that it took a lot of time to get used to, alhamdulillah. But by having Sheikh Riyad Fattar's children around us, alhamdulillah, and the inspiration, the words of advice, yes, I had homesick. There was times I cried and said, Ya Allah, I'm missing my mother and my father. But alhamdulillah, through this, my mother and father always made sure that they reminded us that you're doing this for the sake of Allah. And sacrificing does not mean that it is something, it's like as if it's a dark room. Sacrificing today means you're building a great future, inshallah.
Absolutely.
And alhamdulillah, we landed in Egypt. SubhanAllah, it brings to my mind, when I left to Egypt, I left with two of my cousins as well. And so we were basically three when we left at first. And alhamdulillah, today, my brother, Muath Abrams mm-hmm. is alhamdulillah with his wife Ibtisam and his two beautiful daughters alhamdulillah. They are still in Egypt and he's now carrying on with his studies as well alhamdulillah. So we make dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him and all other students success in the future. Amin. But what made my arrival very easy when I came in Egypt was the community that there was, the South African Student Association in the Republic of Egypt, the student body. Mm-hmm. That was the unique. They just made everything much more comfortable. We had soccer on a Friday. We came together on a Thursday. Like we come here at home together. No, the Ratib al-Haddad. Mm. You know? So you kind of felt, okay, there's a little bit of home. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of buba. There's a little bit of samosas, a little bit of pies. So you kind of felt, okay, I feel like I'm a bit connected still to at home. And at that time, we never had Viber and WhatsApp like we have now. Mm-hmm. So there was Skype. All right? Okay. And at that time, it was a bit difficult getting in contact with our parents. Probably once a week, every 2 weeks, you'll speak. And but alhamdulillah, despite all of that, the start was very difficult. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna ma al-usri yusra," that with every difficulty, there is ease. So alhamdulillah, that was the start. From there, if I'm allowed to, I then enrolled into the Markaz Fajr Institute mm-hmm. for Arabic Learning. And I went to go and study Arabic there, alhamdulillah. In the interim, I then applied at the Al-Azhar College. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, Medina then requires a matric certificate. Al-Azhar, as well, university as well, requires a matric certificate. And for those who does not have a matric certificate, you then go through the Al-Azhar College. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, which is called Ma'ad al-Ba'uth al-Islamiyyah, I then applied at Ma'ad al-Ba'uth al-Islamiyyah. And subhanallah, the application... Someone made an example one day, I think this is my after the first year in Egypt, they said, Egypt is one of the places that you must have hair on your tongue. you must, wallahi, you must be able to, which summarize it today, I would say that Egypt's lifestyle for a student resembles the life of Nabi Yusuf.
Subhanallah.
Alayhi salam. When he was in the well, mm-hmm. in the pit, he went through so much pain and torture, darkness. Mm. But afterwards, when life opened up, mm-hmm. he then tasted the sweetness of that suffering.
Yeah.
And that is how I see Egypt. Mm. As alhamdulillah, by the will of Allah, as a graduate of the Al-Azhar, today when I look back, that is how I see Egypt. I see it as the life of Nabi Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam. And subhanallah, until one day, this year, just before the graduating class completed, the professor said, take this word of advice from me today. And he said, a seed first need to suffer.
Mm.
It first need, we need to place the seed in the ground. It needs to lay in darkness, wrapped in soil, covered by soil, mm-hmm. right? And it needs to spend time there. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, it will then grow, blossom, and tomorrow people can take shade under it.
Mm.
So he said, you are that seed.
Mm.
You need to go through suffering. You need to struggle. Mm-hmm. You need to feel what is hunger. You need to feel what it is to go and sleep at night, not having the comfort of your mother or your father's company or food. Mm-hmm. You need to know what it is when you don't have that comfort of luxury, of being in your own home, coming home, laying on your back. And alhamdulillah, because Egypt taught me to do washing.
Mm.
Egypt taught me to cook, alhamdulillah. Egypt taught me how to spring clean, because there's no maids, there's no mother, there's no father. You have to develop all of these skills on your own, alhamdulillah.
Correct.
And that is why I say, if I look at Egypt, I see the life of Nabi Yusuf. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this bil fakhr, in any form of boasting, but this is how I see Egypt, because Egypt, alhamdulillah, the Al-Azhar is blessed with students from all around the world, mm-hmm. alhamdulillah. And whenever I looked at them, I always found comfort by looking at Ismail. Don't worry, you're not the only one suffering. You know, you might cry tonight, he's also crying. You might not be having the comfort of your opinions, he as well doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. And that is how I just, so it's kind of a mind over a matter.
Yes.
Yeah, so I just kept on convincing myself. And alhamdulillah, at this time, I was in Markaz Fajr, and then I went through the various grades that there was there. And in the interim, I applied at the Ma'ad al-Ba'uth al-Islamiyyah. I waited approximately a year and a half to be accepted.
Okay.
In the year and a half time, during this period, I then studied Arabic at the Ma'ad al-Ba'uth al-Islamiyyah. Then my name came down, alhamdulillah, to go into the Al-Azhar. SubhanAllah, I remember while studying in the early days, I was so excited, I couldn't wait to start speaking Arabic.
Mm.
So what I would do, I would stand in the mirror and look at myself and like, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Because SubhanAllah, I'm sure we all of us can agree, the Arabic language has a sense of beauty in it. Allahu Akbar, even the Quran, just by listening to it, one falls in love with it.
Correct.
We don't even really need to understand it. Mm-hmm. So at that moment, I was surrounded by Arabic. Even the takeaways guys are speaking Arabic. I was like, Ya Allah, please make it easy for me, Ya Allah. SubhanAllah, with this being in mind, Alhamdulillah, I just kept on making dua, and something my granny and grandfather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always be pleased with him, Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Amen. I'm sure she's listening, and that is Fatima Jacobs, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Fatima Ibrahim Sni Jacobs, subhanAllah. Mm-hmm. But she made an example once, and she said, and whenever we would call, she would always utter these words, and she would always say, don't go tomorrow and get more ilm.
Mm-hmm.
If the ilm that you receive today, you have not yet placed it into practice.
SubhanAllah. Amazing.
Practice what you have learned today, mm-hmm, before going to fetch more tomorrow.
SubhanAllah.
And SubhanAllah, today, after reading into the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, they took so many years to complete Surah Baqarah.
Yes.
When being asked why they have taken so long to complete Surah Baqarah by memory, they said, we have not gone on to the next verse, mm-hmm, unless we have implemented the first verse in our life.
Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah. 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 For that beautiful advice,
Ameen,
that
Ameen,
my grandparents has given me, Alhamdulillah.
Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. On that note, inshallah, let's head back to our marketplace and we'll resume with our final segment thereafter. Keep it locked on 91.3 FM.
Born to serve.
My eyes see injustice. My hands work for change. My tongue sings the sorrow of my heart. The love of Allah combined with hope. Let's hold hands as we make a start. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Welcome back, respected listeners. My name is Muhammad Sheikh. With me, Sheikh Ismail Ibrahim's beautiful discussion indeed, memoirs of the Al-Azhar College and Al-Azhar University thereafter. And following that, back in South Africa at this stage. So, going through the rungs of Markaz Al-Fajr and then after from, into the Al-Azhar College and then to the Jamia after that. After completing from the Jamia, where did you find yourself in the Jamia to begin with? What ma'had or what faculty did you enroll in?
Alhamdulillah, the choice of the faculty started at the first year when I came at the Ma'had al-Ba'uth.
Mm-hmm.
By writing the entry exam, I managed to skip 5 years.
SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah. So I then started, we have Dirasa Khalsa, which at that time was 2 years, Afwan 3 years, and then we had Ula Adadi and Thani Adadi. So at that time, I skipped all of these mentioned grades now, and I went to Thalith Adadi, which was the final year of junior college.
Okay. So basically preceding university.
After that, we have 3 years senior college and then varsity.
Oh, then varsity.
So,
okay.
Yes, Alhamdulillah. So that's why those who study in Egypt, they usually study for a very long time.
Yes,
Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
So bearing in mind, this is now not just Islamic, it's academic and Islamic. So
right.
We studied science, maths, all of this in Arabic as well. Mm-hmm. Alongside of this, we had our Islamic study subjects as well. So, but the what happened now, because I haven't studied much before this, I never knew how to study.
Mm.
So now you have a textbook of 200-300 pages.
Mm-hmm.
I have never studied in English, really. How do you now study Arabic?
Subhana ya Rabb.
I said, okay, let me make hifz. Right. I can memorize Quran. It should be the same.
Right.
And it never really worked out for me.
Uh-huh.
And then I would love, and this is the reason what made me choose the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called my parents, and I was crying. I said, Ya Allah, I can't seem to be getting a grip of what I'm in.
Mm.
And the advice was, stand up for Salat al-Tahajjud. Ask the creator of knowledge to open up for the knowledge to rest inside of you.
SubhanAllah.
Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of that exam, to make that exam easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And subhanAllah, at this moment, I then made tahajjud. And by the will of Allah, that year, I managed to reach in the top 5 in the world.
MashaAllah.
On that year, Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
And shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was because I believe the barakah of the du'as of our parents,
mm-hmm,
and that salatul tahajjud.
SubhanAllah.
And this was the moment that I decided that inshaAllah, my niyyah is to go into the faculty of da'wah.
Mm-hmm.
We specialize in the fundamentals of belief and comparative religion. Mm-hmm. And subhanAllah, I really enjoyed varsity, alhamdulillah. It was the highlight of my life. Mm-hmm. It was, subhanAllah, we had the professors. I've never met people in my life. I'm talking about 85, 90 years of age, coming in a wheelchair as our professor, presenting books. Wallahi, that I haven't ever come across things like that in my life before. So much so that, subhanAllah, when they used to give us classes and they used to speak, I used to say, Ya Allah, please don't let this class end.
SubhanAllah.
Please don't. This year, Dr. Jamal Farooq, the Hamid of Kuliyat Da'wah Al-Islamiyah, the Dean of Kuliyat Da'wah, he taught us the tafsir of the surah called Tafsir Surah Al-Hujurat. And alongside of this, we dealt with all the contemporary issues that we are facing in today's time, and from the Quran, answering them, and coming with the, as well, the Bible, the Torah, the Injil, perspective of it as well.
SubhanAllah.
And this was really amazing. And he then taught us the historical side and the very polite side of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rooms and Medina, the masjid, how it's situated and how that plays a role within our life, and the naming of the surah, Surah Al-Hujurat.
Allah, beautiful.
Allahu Akbar.
Beautiful.
And when he described to us that, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I remember this, Allahu Akbar, he said that amazing, the rooms of where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam slept in was so sacred that Allah even named a surah in the Quran called Surah Al-Hujurat.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Just to preserve that specialty of the room of where in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam slept. And wallahi, I think, alhamdulillah, I've spent 13 years in Egypt, alhamdulillah. And to really go through it, try to encourage the listeners that in the early days of my studies, alhamdulillah, things has been very tough. Mm-hmm. We've gone through very a lot of tests. They range from small to big. My grandfather, Muhammad Qasim, Hajj Muhammad Qasim, passed away while we were in Egypt, rahmatullahi alayhi. So that was a great loss for us. It was something I didn't know how to deal with at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested us in various ways. But alhamdulillah, despite all of that, I always heard this light at the end of the tunnel.
Correct.
That light doesn't necessarily mean luxury. It means you now look at life with the nur of Allah.
SubhanAllah.
You see things in a different perspective. You look at things differently.
Correct.
We, the rest of the world, do not see hope in something. You might see this hope. And I think this is what, as the years progressed, alhamdulillah, that's how I happened to see it. And alhamdulillah, I then chose the faculty of Kuliyat Da'wah Al-Islamiyah, which the reason for me choosing that, I had, as I made mention before, I have a huge passion for Sirat al-Nabawi and the Tazkiyah and Ihsan, studying around the subject of Ihsan, Tasawwuf, and all of these things. So I had a very big passion for it, because, like I said, it all started in the very early days of my life, when my father told me, it's not what you do, it's how you do it.
Absolutely.
And Kuliyat Da'wah was all about how for me.
Right.
It's how the Sahabas live their life. Mm-hmm. It is how you interact with people.
Correct.
It is how you encourage people, how you remind them of the greatness of Allah. So it was all about how for me. Yes, we dealt in Kuliyat Da'wah with contemporary issues. We dealt with the very technical issues as well, which was very exciting at times. And subhanAllah, the most amazing thing for me from Kuliyah was the day that we finished. We wrote our last exam, and I'm walking out of that exam room. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, there's so many days I come from the exam, the first thing is I pick up the phone and I phone my parents.
MashaAllah.
And I said, Abi, Umi, I just wrote this today. Please, your du'as is what I need.
Allahu
Please
Akbar.
Make du'a that I pass this, subhanAllah. And Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd, by the will of Allah, and by the, with the barakah, the du'as of my parents and my grandparents and the citizens of my entire family, uncles, aunts, and all of them all, alhamdulillah, I sit today. And one thing that I took home with me from the final exam was, when I came out, the teacher took my hand. And this is a teacher I love dearly, Sheikh Muhyiddin Afifi. And he took my hand, the professor, and he says, Ismail, remember one thing. During the day, you need to encourage people that Allah will never leave them alone. But you also need to recharge your batteries. You can't encourage people when you are not encouraged.
Subhanallah.
And your encouragement is only found during the night when the world is sleeping.
Allahu Akbar.
That's when you recharge your batteries. So that you gain you stand up at night to gain the tawfiq of Allah. So that when you speak to them during the day of Allah, so at night you're activating your relationship with muqallib al-qulub, with the turner of the hearts. And the day when you speak into the hearts, the turn of the hearts will allow your words to touch the hearts of those who He has created.
Allahu Akbar. Beautiful indeed.
This was the highlight. And over and above this, alhamdulillah, I've spent a lot of time in the company of great mashayikh, besides Ziyal Azhar, attaining ijazat in various, in aqidah, tafsir, hadith, and so on. Alhamdulillah, the likes of Dr. Hisham Kamil, some mashayikh from Morocco, some of them being from as far as Nigeria, subhanallah, and many ijazat that I have achieved, alhamdulillah. When I look at the ijazat, I don't see it as something as a medal. I see it as that when the moment I say, Ya Allah, all the sanads and ijazas that I have, by being linked to these people, hopefully I will attain extra tawfiq from Allah.
Inshallah.
Ameen, Rabbil Alameen.
Inshallah.
So this was basically up until today, alhamdulillah. But I think that most of all, I would love to thank my great-grandparents, alhamdulillah, who has raised my grandparents so beautifully, mashallah, so that they could have raised my parents so beautifully, mashallah, my other grandmother and grandfather as well, Ismail Ahmed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a high place in Jannah.
Ameen, ameen.
Fatima Ahmed as well, and my family is from both sides, mother and father. I really need to thank them for all of their contributions and efforts in standing behind me, because without them, I wouldn't have had this opportunity today to encourage people. And wallahi, before I speak to any one, I always remember one thing, and that is, before I give a Jumu'ah khutbah, I always say, Ya Allah, you have given me this opportunity to speak to your creation. And that alone for me is something that it will always be indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely.
So I thank Allah for that opportunity. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Beautiful indeed. I love hearing your anecdotes and your discourses. And I think the bottom line is, if I had to summarize your entire journey, I mean, you know, it's knowledge without tazkiyat al-qulub is completely void.
No.
You know, you have to incorporate the spirituality, the element of what you're learning. It has to reflect into your life, into practice. And without that, I mean, you know, it's just as good as taken from the internet.
No.
Copy-paste, PDF, with all our technology today. But it's been absolute pleasure chatting to you, Sheikh Ismail Abrams. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Accept all your efforts, inshallah, and allow your efforts to be channeled into fruition. Many people, inshallah, may benefit from there, many students to come, and hopefully they benefit from your experiences, from your knowledge, and inshallah they also have the same desire and motivation to be the next Al-Azhar graduate.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen, ameen. Jazakumullah. I really appreciate this honorable invite. It was an honor to honor it, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah,
and,
ya Rabbil.
I just want to remind the community of Cape Town at large that one of my professors that I attained ijazah from, Ibrahim Abdul Ba'ith Al-Kattani. Wallahi, Allahu Akbar. Up until then, may Allah grant him a long life.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabb.
He mentioned something to us one day, and he said, Ismail, first ilmu al-adhwaq before ilmu al-awraq. First taste your knowledge before you make the paper on which the knowledge is written your priority. Because when you have ilmul awraq, the knowledge from the paper, without the knowledge that you have tasted, the spiritual side of knowledge, then no matter what you tell people, it won't inspire them.
Absolutely.
And wallahi, I really ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of my teachers,
whatever
they have taught me up until this day, alhamdulillah.
Ameen.
And I want to remind all of us that before we look at someone else, always try to make sure that whatever little we know, taste it before we gain more.
Absolutely.
Try to taste that which we know, because he said that knowledge cannot be taken from the lines of the textbook. It is taken from the chests of your teachers.
Allahu Akbar.
And that is why I made that extra effort to make sure I can go and sit at the feet of the ulama, attain ijazat in various sciences, so that I may gain that nur from them which Allah has gifted them with. And may Allah allow me to gain it in this life and in my qabr and the after. Ameen,
ya Rabbil Alameen.
Jazakumullahu khairul jaza.
Ameen wa iyyakum. And it's only a pleasure to have you on on here. Inshallah, we hope to have you for many more programs to come, inshallah, and benefit from your experiences, from the knowledge that you have, and inshallah, the community at large. But that's where we have to leave it for this evening. Shukran so much to all of you for tuning in, to Born to Serve. I hope it has been fruitful. I hope you have enjoyed it, inshallah, and I hope you are inspired as much as I am. Until the next time, I hand you all in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.